California. Marianne, there's only two of us left in our family, so we stay pretty close together. And the message that I want to share with you this morning, you have probably heard many, many times, but we want to share it together anyway. After 4,000 years of preparation, 4,000 years, the long-awaited and prophesied event finally arrived. And that was preceded by 400 years of silence. Think of it, 400 years of silence, where there was nothing about any prophecy or about any presentation. That was the intertestament period. Have you not wondered what was going through the mind and the heart of our Father, our God Himself, when He said farewell to His Son? I wonder what was going through His mind. Because you see, the union between the Father and the Son was so beautiful and so intimate. To say goodbye for the mission that His Son is going to, and incidentally, it also is the first time we find in the scripture that a father and son concept is, because before that, it was always equal. Unfortunately, some of the cults really believe that Jesus was the actual son of the Father, but that is not true, because they were equal together. And now the mission begins. He said farewell to His Son. Gabriel was already at work, wasn't he? In announcing to Zechariah and Elizabeth and to Mary and to Joseph 9 months previous to this. And his work was pretty well concluded. I think the angelic choir that was going to say praise God was already in their final touches for their concert. It was a cold crisp night. You know, I want to give you a setting of Bethlehem. The first time I was so excited about going to Bethlehem, it's 5 miles south of Jerusalem. You know, we sing this little song, oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Oh, it just blew my idea of what Bethlehem was. Bethlehem is built on a ridge, and it's a busy little town with people going to and for. And around the area of Bethlehem are a number of caves. And the shepherds use those caves. Fortunately, through an interpreter, I was able to talk to a shepherd and ask him many things. And one of the things that he shared with us is that at the end of the day, when he brings the flocks in, you see, they were out in the field, so we know it was in the springtime. Because in the wintertime, they bring the flocks into the town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem gets 12 inches of average of snow every year. So the flocks are inside the corrals. In the springtime, they take them out into the new pastures and allow them to feed. So what happens at the end of the day when the shepherd brings the sheep into a cave? Hundreds of caves around, because it's all limestone area. As the sheep then know, the shepherd will go into the cave and clean out any snakes or scorpions that would injure the sheep. And then he lowers his staff just to the head of the sheep. The sheep then know to go into the cave one at a time. And as they enter, the shepherd looks to see if there were any fleece that was torn, and he pours oil to heal that wound. When the sheep were all inside, now this is a daily routine that the shepherds do, and through the day they've collected wood from around the area, and when the sheep are all inside, the shepherd then lights a fire at the entrance to the cave. protect the sheep from any predators at night. So it was simply a routine night in the fields of Bethlehem when the shepherds went through all of their routine, just like any other night. And God broke through time and space into a dark and sin-stained world to bring redemption that night. He came to earth in human form. Think of it. A baby. Just like you and I were born. Mary had to nurse him, had to change his diaper, just like any other baby. But then he began to grow. Have you ever wondered when at what time Jesus began to realize that his mission, that he was sent from God? We don't know. We know at age 12 he said, "Will you know that I should be about my Father's business in the temple?" He came to earth in human form. Now, why did he have to wait until he was 30 years of age to start his ministry? I'm sure he knew way before that of what his mission was. The reason is because a rabbi was not considered to be wise enough and have enough knowledge to start his ministry. So Jesus waited until he was 30 years of age. That night when the sky opened and the angel of the Lord appeared, wouldn't you like to have been there? I would have. How did the angel appear? Did Jesus walk up and tell the shepherds? I don't think so. I think it probably came from the sky, because the Bible says the glory of the Lord shone around them. This whole cave was filled with the glory of God. Was he standing on the ground, or was he in the sky? There has no congregation ever heard such a message with such a hymn of invitation. No one ever listened to such a sermon with so joyous a conclusion. That was the shortest message that stirred the greatest response. And the repercussions have come all the way down to us today. The greatest announcement came not from the lips of men, but from the voices of an angel. And it was not just one message. There were two great messages. The first was, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good tidings of great joy." But what is the second one? "Don't be afraid, he is not here, he is risen." What an announcement that brought joy to all of us. Well, let's look a little further into this joyous introduction. The angel said, "Don't be afraid." I'm sure the shepherds were terrified. Wouldn't you be if in the middle of the night around that campfire an angel appeared? It would have been an awesome, awesome experience. But the message goes much deeper than the physical fear that the angels might have felt. Because he came to take all fear away. The fear of failure in people's lives, the fear of sickness that we all face from time to time, the fear of being alone, for here now we have a Heavenly Father. A fear of rejection that people face all throughout their life, and the fear of death, and the fear of judgment. He came that night to take all that fear away. But when did the fear begin? It began with Adam. Genesis 3:10 said, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Disobedience came into the world and brought that fear and rejection and punishment. But then we have the writer in 1 John who says, there is no fear in love, because perfect love drives out fear. Fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Think of it. But you know, inherent in every person, whether they admit it or not, is a sense that someday we will meet God face to face and there receive the just reward. Friends, don't you understand that because of that night in Bethlehem, he took all fear away for those who come to accept him as their personal Savior. But unfortunately, it is so sad that believers are still bound by fear. Don't be afraid, the angel said. And Jesus said the same thing. You don't need to be afraid because there is forgiveness and redemption as we walk in harmony with our Master. What a joy it is to know that we don't need to fear death. I love what Helen said. Pastor, I am ready to go home. She has no fear. I've had the experience as a pastor for many, many years to be with people when they faced their last breath. And it was the same thing. I want to go home. At this point, I want to share the most beautiful death experience I've ever faced. It was with our own father. We knew Dad lived to be 95, and we knew that he was nearing the end. His breath was getting shorter, and they called us to say, we think this might be it. So my sister and my wife and myself went to the retirement center, Atherton Baptist Home in Alhambra, California. And as we entered the room, you know, I've been with many people who've died, but when it's your own father, it's just different. Just different. We really didn't know what to do. So we started praying. Sue started, then Marianne, and then myself. And in the middle of the prayer, when I said, and Lord, we release him to you, it's like the Holy Spirit said, open your eyes. And I saw the most beautiful sight. The most beautiful smile came across my father's face. And he lifted up his hands a little bit as though someone was coming to get him. And he breathed his last. Powerful. Yes, we can look death straight in the face because of what happened in Bethlehem that night. As pain is a warning system to our own body. And I'm sure we've all felt some physical pain along the way, right? So guilt is the warning system to the heart. And people, many times as they experience this, they just give up discouragement. Or if they are in a rebellious mode, they try to cover up and say, I will show you. Or in self-deception, saying, I'm not that bad. Or superficial confession says, I'm sorry, but please don't punish me. But you see, he took all that fear away. When you and I come honestly before the Lord and admit our helplessness, God's love drives all that fear out of our life. Because he said, I have overcome the world. It was also a glorious announcement. Not just don't be afraid. But what did he say? I have good news of great joy. No longer in bondage, no longer in fear, but we're free. And the Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And Jesus said, if you obey my commands, and what is the greatest command? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. All the commands are wrapped up in that one command. And so you obey that command, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy might be in you and your joy be complete. What happened when you gave your life to Jesus? Wasn't anything exotic, was it? But you know something happened when you confessed your sin to Christ and asked him to come in and take over your life. I was 9 years of age when that happened. I realized, and I was born and raised in a Christian family, I knew I needed to make that decision. But one day, it all came together. And I knelt in the same bed that I was physically born in and asked Jesus to come in. And I knew something happened. There was a deep peace that I had never experienced before in my life. And there was a joy to know that now I was a child of God. The joy. Psalm 16:11 says, you have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with the joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand. That's why we come to worship the Lord and share the joy that has come into our lives. So, no more fear. Perfect love drives out fear. And the joy that we have as we come to Jesus Christ. But the announcement went on further to say, for all people, no matter the color of their skin, rich or poor, broken-hearted, hurting or discouraged, those who have given up, those who feel worthless, to the Pharisee and the publican, and in our day, to the Jeffrey Dahmer. Remember hearing about that serial killer? And the assistant attorney general and his wife witnessed to him for years. And he finally gave his life to Jesus Christ. Wow. You think he should deserve judgment? But God gave him mercy. That's the kind of God that we serve. Not only for all people, but this day, a Savior has been born. No more waiting. He finally arrived. Yes, we're all under the judgment of God. We all deserve justice. We all have been weighed in the scales and been found wanting. All we, like sheep, have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This day, today is the day of salvation, isn't it? What a joy it is. And a Savior has been born, Christ the Lord. It is so hard to comprehend this. It's beyond our comprehension. The creator of this universe. Now, the Bible makes it very plain that God the Father was the source of creation, but God the Son was the agent of creation, And he is the one that sustains this world. He could snap his fingers and this world would go off smithereens into space. He is sustaining this earth, the creator of all of this, the creator of all. And this is not, this is, we're in just one universe. And you go beyond and you find innumerable number of universes. That creator loved us so much that he came to this earth in the form of a baby. Think of it. A Savior has been born, Christ the Lord, the prophet. He gave us the great news. The priest. There's one mediator between God and man, and the man Christ Jesus. He is our mediator. And the king, the ultimate ruler, where there will be no more war. There will be no more strife. There will be no more killing, no more bullying, no more divorce, no more conflicts, no more family breakups. When Christ comes back again, all things will be set straight. Are you looking forward to that day? Wow, I am. When we look at this world and all the things that have happened, yes, God loved Adolf Hitler. God loved Joseph Stalin. God loves President Trump. And I'm not putting him in that other category. And God loves you and me. It was a wise confirmation. Unusual directions, right? To the shepherds, they didn't need any GPS. They knew when they heard the term manger. They knew where the Christ child was born. And they could see it with their own eyes. See, it wasn't just an announcement. The angel wanted them to go see for themselves of this new child. So he said, you can see with your own eyes. And you and I can feel with our own heart. He was born in the lowliest of circumstances so that no one could accuse him of any special privilege. But the proud and the defiant cannot find him. Only those who are lowly in heart. You see, salvation is real. We've experienced it. And it has changed our life. And it changed the lives of the shepherds. As two Sundays ago, I shared with you what happened in Bethlehem was nothing of insignificance with the sheep. Because in the Talmud, there's an area of 30 miles around Jerusalem. And the shepherds that raised those sheep were raising the sheep for the sacrifices in the temple. Behold the Lamb of God, who now takes away the world's sin. But then what did the shepherds do? They spread the word. We cannot keep this message to ourselves. We would be so selfish in doing it. We got to let people know, folks. We have to let them know that there is salvation through Jesus Christ. That night changed the world, and it has changed you and me. And when the angels echoed glory to God in the highest heaven. Oh, one little insight. The Bible says they said, they didn't sing it. I think it was one of the great preachers out west that said, God has reserved music for his bride, for us. Because nowhere in the scripture does it say that the angels sang. It says the angels said. Wow. When Gabriel rolled back the curtain between heaven and earth, and they saw this myriads of angels saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Do you not think that that thunderous sound echoed down through the valleys around Bethlehem? Wow. Someday, you and I will experience it. That night changed the world. And I trust that it has changed you and me. No wonder the angels said, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So that night, it was a joyous introduction. Do not be afraid. I have overcome the world. It was a glorious announcement. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, no matter what their color, no matter what their origin, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what is in their heart, it is for them this day. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. A Savior has been born to us, Christ the Lord. And it was a wise confirmation. See for yourself. They went and saw. Have you experienced that? And it was a glorious doxology. I wonder what it'll be like when we get to heaven. John Bunyan gave the most beautiful description of heaven that I have ever seen. There is Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the innumerable company of angels, the spirits of just men made perfect. You are now going to the paradise of God, wherein you shall see the tree of life and shall eat of the never fading fruits thereof. In that land you shall have white robes given you, and your walk and your talk will be every day with the King, even all the days of eternity. You are going to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, men who God has taken away from the evil to come and are now walking in his righteousness. And they said, well, what shall we do in the holy place? And the shining one said, there you shall receive the comfort of all your toil and the joy of all your sorrow. You shall reap what you have sown, even the fruit of all your prayers and tears. In that land you shall have crowns given you, and shall enjoy the perpetual sight of the Holy One, for there you shall see him as he is. There you shall serve him with praise and thanksgiving, and shall enjoy the friends that have gone before you, and shall receive with joy those that come after you. Now, when they came up to the gate, they looked over and saw, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life and enter into the gate, into the city. Then the shining ones bid them knock at the gate, to which some looked over from the top, Moses, Enoch, Elijah, to whom it was said, these men have come from the city of destruction for the love that they bear to the King. Then they presented their certificates, which they had received at the cross, and the King commanded for them to be brought in. And lo, as they entered the gate, they were transformed in raiment that shone like gold. There were also those that met them with harps and crowns. And I heard all the voices of this city rang out for joy. And it was said unto them, enter in to the joy of our Lord. And I heard the men themselves say, as they sang with a loud voice, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. That night in Bethlehem was the beginning of it all. And because Christ came in human form and taught us and provided the way for us, you and I have the most exciting and astounding future because we gave our life to Jesus. As we come to the close of this service, you probably have all experienced the joy of that salvation. But if there's one in here that has not, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. In a moment, when we sing our hymn of invitation, I'll be here to receive you, and you can find that joy through Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to Christ. You've kind of been wandering around. And if Jesus has been at a distance, then who departed from it? Maybe you. And to rededicate your life to Christ. You see, because, dear friends, this church is not a social club that meets in the name of God. This church is the body of Christ, with the hope that he's given to us. So come full in your heart and say, Lord, I'm coming to you. And if there are those who want to join with us, we'd love to have you join us in the membership of this congregation to be a part of the commitment that has been made by our wonderful, wonderful people of God here. Let us know that as well. Let's stand and sing. And you respond. If God is calling you, you know who you are. And you just come.